Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Our first Sense of Place Toronto guest is Basha Bulat, the folky singer-songwriter who grew up in Little Poland on the east side of Toronto and released her first album in 2007 and has moved a bit beyond folk on her new one called Tall Tall Shadow that was produced by the team of Tim Kinsbury of Arcade Fire and Mark Lawson, who won a Grammy for producing Arcade Fire's The Suburbs. Today we hear four songs with Basha accompanying herself on four different instruments, including the auto harp and the charango. Here is the first song. It's the title track of Tall, Tall Shadow. That is the title track and the first song on Tall Tall Shadow, the new album from Basha Bulat is with us today, and a really wonderful solo version of that on one of the umpteen instruments that Basha plays. Do you ever keep track of
It's becoming a problem, is what it is.
Well, only for the people who have to carry your equipment. But if that's you, then therefore it's a problem.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be on one of those TV shows pretty soon.
Exactly. You mean hoarders, that kind of thing?
Yeah, or maybe more like consumed. Maybe more. I'm more of a consumed person than I am.
That's funny. Well, so, you know, I'm the person that brings a metaphor back to its beginnings. And Tall, Tall Shadow, obviously, you use it in many, many ways. But was there a moment when you were walking down the sidewalk and you saw your tall, tall shadow?
I'm sorry to say that never happened. that was a song that the idea and the melody kind of came to me almost like when you're waking up from a dream or something. It just sort of was... one morning, it was just kind of hunts you down, and it was already there, like that idea of the tall, tall shadow, tall, tall shadow. And I think I was listening to a lot of old soul music and like the Numero Group recordings of a lot of the eccentric soul and gospel music, and sort of that idea of repetition and everything kind of building and growing. And so it can't just be a tall shadow; it has to be a tall shadow, so to speak.
Right. I noticed that. That part of it, but the theme of a shadow, light and dark together. There's a lot of contrasting things on many of the songs on this record. That seemed to be a big part of this.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, I was kind of looking at how to write about and how to be honest with myself during a time of loss, and trying to be honest with myself about how that felt while also trying to focus as well on making something beautiful that felt really alive at the same time. So I think for me, the idea of a shadow, I mean, it exists because there's light, to take that metaphor really in its most basic form. And, you know, light can be just as harsh as the darkness. So just trying to find a way to exist within those worlds, or maybe between them, is what I was trying to do, I think.
Now I read that you had gotten started working, and then with this loss, you kind of started over. Is that a way to describe it?
Yeah, definitely. I just had all new songs and just started everything all over again, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're doing this is part of our Sense of Place Toronto, but you went to Montreal to record this. What was the attraction?
I actually did record a significant portion of this record in Toronto. I recorded it in an old dance hall of the Beaches Legion No. 1 in Toronto's East End. It's the first Legion, I think, in the city of Toronto. So we recorded a lot of the main band tracks, what I would call sometimes nicknamed bed tracks, so to speak, sort of the basic foundation for a lot of the songs were done in this big dance room. And then we took the music to Montreal to work on some of the studio magic. But I definitely, in terms of place, it definitely has the hallmarks of the Legion in there, for sure.
Basha Bulat is our guest today, and we heard the title track of Tall, Tall Shadow. And there's a song on here that you described as your... the closest you'll come to a song you can dance to. And now you're doing solo today. Can you make us dance?
I don't know if I can make you dance to this one. This one, I think the solo version is going to be a little more mournful, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could do a sad
a slow dance.
Yeah, a sad little sock hop to it or something, maybe. We can give it a shot.
And what instrument are you going to move to next?
This is an electric auto harp, and it's a song called Promise Not to Think About Love. Not to think about love, but to see the way you play. I have taken a vow, now I want to hear you say. Are you troubled at all if I make no hesitation when you ask me not to think about love? I don't think about love when I see you kiss another. It won't matter at all. No, I won't hold to its power. I have given it up, and I've seen the final hour When I tell you I don't think about life. Oh, I don't think about it all. And I won't sing about it now. I promise not to think about life. I don't need the incantation. I have given it up. Oh, I've had my reservations. Were your friends there at all? Did they offer consolation when I promised not to think about life? Oh, I don't think about it. Oh, and I won't sing about it. Promise not to think about life. Promise not to think about life. Promise not to think about life.
Basha Bulat is our guest today, and that's Promise Not to Think About Love. Yeah, you kept the beat. That's danceable.
Thanks.
That's danceable indeed.
It's a little bit of a loping dance, maybe.
Absolutely. Well, now you mentioned recording in place out on beaches. I would love it if you would kind of talk a little bit about your favorite neighborhoods in Toronto. Now, you're from elsewhere in Ontario originally, right? And when did you move there?
Well, actually, I was born in Toronto, and I grew up there as a child, and I moved around a little bit when I got a bit older, but I live in the city again now. When I was born and when I was a kid, I grew up Lakeshore West, and now I live kind of close to the lake on the east side of the city, and I'm really, really fond of the east end of the city. It's a bit underrated and a bit overlooked, I think, in general. but it's the thing that's exciting about Toronto is that it is so multicultural and it is so diverse, and the East is such a diverse section of the city. I live right at the intersection, I guess you could say, in a way, of Greek Town, Little India, and Little Bangladesh. There's like a million different kinds of languages being spoken, dialects, and a lot of great food, and then you're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the water. So I'm really quite fond of the East End, even if it's not necessarily the trendiest place.
Right.
At the same time, there is a couple things that are happening now. There's a cool music series called Feast in the East, and it's a lot of the sort of underground music scene that happens there. And I think there's also a night called the Extermination Music Night, which happens, and I think they've had a few in the East End, and that's a very sort of secret, underground, magical sort of music series that you can find out about on the internet.
Now, if the East is not the hip neighborhood, what is?
Oh, I think the West End is the hip side of town for now. I'm quite fond of the whole city, though, if I'm perfectly honest. I mean, I grew up in the West, and now I live in the East, so I think I'm a fair candidate to speak to the moments of, I think Toronto's moments, you know, a moments kind of city. I don't know if it's necessarily an all around one vibe, if I can use that word. It's definitely, I always describe it as a city of moments.
Talk a little more about that. That's fascinating. You just remember certain things that happen in certain places, or?
Yeah, and also just because it is so diverse. It's not a huge city in terms of geographically. Obviously, there's other cities in the world that are more compact, I suppose, or dense. But just the sheer diversity that you can find within a square kilometer is really amazing. And I think that leads to really interesting collaborations. I think that leads to really interesting relationships.
It seems to me that there was a time when if you were a musician, you kind of needed to go to, you know, Montreal or Toronto. But now it seems the music scene in Canada is spread out to a lot more cities. But do you run into a lot of musicians? Do they hang? What's it like to be a musician in Toronto?
Yeah, if you're around Bloor and Ossington, you can't walk about five steps without running into a musician. So
sounds like Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think there's some similarities there for sure. But I think that just speaks to also Toronto's made an effort to support the creative arts, especially right now. There's a few people within the city council that are very, very supportive and trying to create more music festivals.
Now, you were talking about the various kind of, you know, ethnic neighborhoods, et cetera. Did you grow up in a Polish neighborhood? Or?
I've grew up very, very close to an area that is very, it's changing quite quickly right now, but it still, I think, could be considered the Polish neighborhood within Toronto. There's a street called Roncesvalles Avenue, actually. I think it's an avenue. And that is sort of the center of my childhood memories, going every weekend to Benna's Bakery or to Granowska Bakery, which sadly doesn't exist anymore, and all the Polish shops and delis, and getting all your Sunday shopping done, meeting up with everybody, every Easter holiday, going there's a Polish tradition where you go and on the Saturday and you bless the eggs, and it's kind of amazing because people decorate these baskets with all the food that they're going to have on Easter Sunday, and the decorations are really elaborate. And I remember as a child getting very competitive about it. So there's always a lineup around the block still at the church on Roncesvalles on Easter Saturday. There's always still a long line. So I think it can still be considered the Polish hub within Toronto, but it's definitely like everything in the city, really rapidly changing.
Basha Bulat is our guest. She's got a new album called Tall, Tall Shadow, and we're hearing some wonderful solo versions of the songs. And Basha, what's next?
I'm going to do a bit of a weird one. This song is called Wires, and I'm going to play it on a Casio SK1. So it's a kind of an acoustic version, not full band version. Talk me out of my lies and forgive myself for trying. Tell me to be brave tonight, and if we compare the timing, take me out of the wild, build up my frame of mind and burn it till you're set on fire. Tell me when you cut the wire. Talk me out of this time. Open this heart of mine. Tell me when you cut the wires now. Open this heart of mine. Hope for my sake, you know, study well before you hear it. Every beat and every note you'll remember when you're near it. Take me out of the wild, build up my frame of mind and burn it till you're set on fire. Tell me when you cut the wires. Talk me out of this time. Open this heart of mine. Tell me when you cut the wires now. Open this heart of set on fire. Tell me when you cut the wires. Talk me out.
That is wires. Okay, I have to remind people that's a Casio keyboard because people could be confused that you were playing a pump organ and a theremin at the same time.
Yeah, the theme of the day is small instruments that sound bigger than they really are.
that's the truth. When you learn a new instrument, do they affect the writing? Do you write to a new instrument sometimes?
Oh yeah, definitely. It totally changes for me, at least. It forces me out of habits, good or bad. Takes me out of typical patterns and typical chord structures, and you have to use your hands in a different way. So, at least for me, I believe that just using your hands in a different way and approaching an instrument physically in a different way than you're used to will change everything else too. I think, anyway. I think it's still going to sound like me. I don't turn into a completely different being or anything like that. But I definitely think it affects how I write, for sure.
What was your first instrument?
I actually started on piano when I was 3 years old. My mom was a piano teacher and a classical guitar teacher as well. So piano was number one, although she did not teach me herself, which was, I think, the smartest possible move she could have ever made because... I think she was very wise about that, to sort of save our relationship in that way.
Well, so then if you rebelled against the piano, you wouldn't be rebelling against her.
Yeah, exactly. So. And of course I did rebel, and now I went back to it because, you know, mom knows best.
Yeah.
Well, there's no need to rebel against any instrument, is there, really?
That's right. Well, now you have a new instrument. I think it's relatively new, the charango.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The charango, actually really fell in love with this instrument. I first encountered it when I met someone from Peru, and they were a classical charanguista, I guess you would say. And I've always been really interested in Latin American music and culture. I learned Spanish when I was in university, so it's always been something that was really interesting to me. And then I kind of fell in love with this instrument because it's got 10 strings, and it... By sight, I think a lot of people confuse it for a ukulele, but then when they hear it, it's kind of got this whole other world sonically available to it. And so far, the people I've met who are very familiar with the instrument are like, you're doing all right. So I feel good about it.
Well, if you've never heard it, you're about to. And what's the song you're going to do?
The song is called It Can't Be You. Can't be you.
listen what I have left to say, but I can't say now. No, I never thought that you would have the nerve to go and shoot me down. You were terrified of love and then you finally let it out. But I know
very cool. Basha Bilad on the charango and that tune from the new album, Tall, Tall Shadow, that's called It Can't Be You. And Basha, thank you so much for being here and also for talking, telling us a little bit about Toronto, too. That's
gonna thank be you so much for having me. It's such an honor, and I'm really excited that I can share a little bit about my town.
Excellent. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.